But we are excited today to be together and hear about what God is doing through this wonderful organization, Love, Inc. I'd like to introduce Jane Williams to you, and we all know Kelly Van Dorn. It is so great to have you ladies here with us this morning, and we are excited to see and hear about what God is doing through your organization and ministry there at Love, Inc. And so I thought I'd just start off by asking you, you know, how did the organization get started from the beginning?
Well, how many times have you started something because you were frustrated? Yeah. I'm a longtime social worker, about 45 years plus here now. And because of that, I used to get the little messages at my church office when somebody called wanting utility or rent assistance. And I just was very frustrated because I didn't know if they'd called 20 other churches and I was supporting their drug habit if I gave money, or it was the most worthy thing I could do in my life to respond to this. And so there was no real organization or structure. And so that frustrated me. I was complaining one day. Love, Inc. actually started out of a complaint. And someone overheard me and said, oh, my son is a pastor in Fairbanks, Alaska. And he said when they got Love, Inc. in their town, it really changed all that. And so I immediately looked up Love, Inc. and visited the closest one at the time, which was a Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ, in Liberty, Missouri, and learned that it was an organization started in 1977 by a bivocational pastor social worker in Holland, Michigan. And it had quickly spread. There were about 135 affiliates. And the goal was to really organize and avoid duplication of efforts of churches by creating a central clearinghouse where calls would come in, requests could be taken, and we could try to respond as a united church community. I had also been involved in a door-to-door prayer ministry since 1996 with Pam Ingram, who went on to found Granny's House. And it just always occurred to me that there was so much more that churches could do, but I had a feeling they just didn't know what to do. And so we set out to start Love, Inc., and it took a while after that first day when I found out. I lost my eyesight at the end of 2012, so I could still see back then, and all I could see were glazed looks. This was like 2001. But along came Hurricane Katrina. Some of you may have heard me tell this story. And Sheila Ruffin from Second Baptist called me and said, we've got a whole lot of evacuees coming here because of a couple of large families that have roots in New Orleans. We've got to do something. So Peggy Kirkpatrick was head of the food bank back then, and we were in a prayer group together, and we called churches, 50 responded, and we set up a disaster recovery center that the city was very happy about at the old Parkade Center before it got to be a flourishing place like it is now. There was empty space. And so we started greeting evacuees. The first day, a woman came in still wearing her clothes from the floodwaters. She was 9 months pregnant, and she ran into a volunteer carrying maternity clothes in her size. We all gasped, and we thought, oh, this is the intersection of needs and resources. I think Jane's been talking about that. So I was thrilled. I couldn't have staged it any better. At the end of the disaster recovery era, later in the fall, we started a development team. People went up to Minnesota, Michigan, where there were a lot of Love, Inks. I first wasn't sure that we could do this without the tall, blonde Dutch people that seemed to be very hardworking, but it worked out. And so in 2008, we opened our doors. We were just all volunteers in a little renovated space at Kelly Plaza. We opened 80 cases that first month. I have no idea what we thought we were doing, but all I knew is that I had told people in the community that we were going to organize churches and we were going to try to respond to people in need. Mm-hmm. When I had that conversation with people throughout the community, social service agencies primarily in the city, others, they all said, well, here's what we need most. We need more crisis funds. I thought, oh, great. Because there's never enough money to pay those utilities and rent. That's why I was frustrated to begin with. Yeah. And we want you to start that furniture bank that you had during Hurricane Katrina because we realized how nice it was for kids to have beds to sleep on. So we thought, okay, we'll start taking calls and see what happened. Well, the phone was ringing, and it was quite astonishing, you know, just the response, because really there is never enough need resources. So my first call, my first day, was a middle-aged African-American woman who needed her utility bill paid. But we had set up an interview that had quite a few questions so that we got to know people. We started, as you see that little card some of you have on your chair, listening without judgment. Number one step, Love Inc. Listen without judgment, help people face often very difficult realities, and find hope, that's very important, and then partner for change. Okay, so I'm poised, I'm listening without judgment. It didn't take too long for us to get into the conversation, me to find out that she needed to pay her utility bill, needed help paying her utility bill because she had spent her money buying clothes and shoes for her grandchildren because her daughter had suddenly been taken to prison. She was very broken over the situation, and as we talked on, she confided in me that she had been abused as a child and had never told anyone until now. I said, really, you've never told anyone about this pretty severe childhood abuse? And she said, well, no one's ever listened to me for this long before. So I was hooked. We were all hooked. We knew that people just needed someone to listen to them. Of course, they also did need their utility bills paid. So it was a little more complicated than that. Right. But as we began listening, we began realizing we could help a lot of people with information. We made a rule. Anybody asks the same question more than twice, we're going to make a handout. So that's the start of our information library, which you can find on our website now, which has got well over 100 documents answering the most frequently asked questions. At least we can give people in the name of Christ some information. But we wanted to also give them more. So we got just churches together, started talking about what different churches could do and give. A lot of it was in-kind items. Compass Church started making bunk bed frames because people needed beds, but they didn't have large spaces. Different churches organized different things. We had life skills classes. People were just, and churches were giving their part, because what we wanted to do at Love Inc. was not just create a central place for handouts. I thought if we get started doing that, we are in trouble. So we wanted to ask people, if we pay your bill this month, how will you pay it next month? And that just became a key question. And that is why this lady over here is so incredibly important, because yeah, she can help them all figure out what they're going to do next month. And, so we just started to try to create structures for churches to become not just donors of in-kind items or crisis funds, but find ways to come alongside people. Because honestly, I never met one person who found their way out of poverty that didn't link it back to a relationship with a person. Yeah, it was nice to get that gasoline card or that table or whatever it was, but what really helped was that person who gave them key advice, connections, mentorship, love, made them feel like they could do it. Basically, that finding hope person. So we started creating coaching programs, and for 6 years, we actually had life skills classes. I'd love to go back to the life skills classes. We kind of wore ourselves out with it. We had two 12-week semesters every year, used service learning students from MU, and usually about 15 different churches partnered to be teachers, provide snacks, do different things, and we taught all kinds of classes. Our core classes, though, were money management and employment search. And we realized that as much fun as we were all having with these classes, it wasn't getting the outcomes that we wanted with job and employment search. Nobody really wants to talk about their money in front of a group, and it was, and the same with the barriers they have to employment. So we started leaning more into individual coaching. A graduate student from MU, happened to go to Christian Chapel, came alongside and helped me create the Extra Mile Money Management Curriculum. It was a dazzling 9-month program when we started, can you believe it? But we realized that was way too long. I guess we thought if you had a baby, it took 9 months. We needed to do that. But it's now a 16-week program with 4 weeks of education and 12 weeks of practicing. So it became kind of the, I guess, centerpiece in some ways for just long-term relationship coaching, and just a real model. And it was so dazzling that the United Way decided to fund it. So wow. That really helped us, because then we got to hire some more staff and really try to help people in a more long-term way. So I'm going to take a pause on what Loving does in general and have Kelly tell you about Extra Mile.
Sure. So the Extra Mile program, we match a community volunteer with a participant who wants to learn how to budget. And we kind of call it Weight Watchers for Your Money. And people learn about budgeting, they collect their receipts, collect their bills, make a budget, and then they have accountability to keep their budget. And I just had a guy, and it's a process. So we have rewards. They get a $20 gift card if they do their homework, if they keep their budget and stuff. And so a lot of people get referred to us by their friends and say, hey, it's free money. And they come in for the rewards. But not very long into it, they kind of get, wow, this is really helping me. And they do it for the help that they get. Had a gentleman who's living in one of our transitional houses who came in, and he said, I love keeping my receipts. It's making such a difference. I don't want to spend money because I don't want to have to get a receipt. And I just said, if only I had known this years ago, I'd be in such a better place. He's a temporary worker through People Ready, working in the trash collection. And he says that all these guys I work with are spending so much money at the gas station. I'm trying to tell them, don't spend so much money. So he really got it. You know, it takes a while. It takes a process. But it's exciting. And as a part of the Extra Mile program, we've had some spinoffs, like I mentioned, the transitional housing. So we offer 4 to 6 months of rent and utility free to people mostly coming out of homelessness to have a chance to get stable. During that time, they can pay off bills. Like one lady owed $1,000 to Ameren UE, and you can't get a lease in your name unless you can get utilities in your name. So she had to pay off that bill so she could get her own housing. Other people owe landlords, and no new landlord wants to rent to you if you owe an old landlord, because they know pretty soon you're going to owe them. And so that's a barrier that's in people's way that we help them get rid of. We've helped people just pay off debt. One lady had several payday loans, and so she paid those off because she, 5 or 6 weeks into her coaching, she realized, wow, if I only had my regular expenses, I could afford my life. But these payday loans, just the math for them doesn't work. So we had a coach several years ago who was coaching someone and went to her boss and said, look, can we give her a loan so that we can pay off this payday loan, because her budget doesn't work with these high numbers. And so that started our payday loan relief program, where now people can get a $1,000 no interest loan to pay off their payday loan. So one lady had borrowed $1,200. She was paying back $200 a month, which she did for 4 months. So she'd paid back $800. The payoff on that loan was $1,300. So you can see you're never going to get ahead if your loan is growing even as you're paying it off. So when they can get into this payday relief loan, then they can pay it off, and then they can not get another one. They can start an emergency fund, and just so many things to help them on a better track. So that payday loan relief fund has been an exciting thing to offer people, just as ways to move ahead, to move forward, and to not be so stuck in their finances. And we also find that people in the Extra Mile program, a rising tide lifts all the boats. And so as they get their finances more under control, they do better at work. They do better in their relationships. They often get raises or maybe a better job. And so it just really impacts their whole current, and also their future and their children's future. One lady who was in one of our houses had 5 children, and several of them were teenagers. And she says, I'm teaching my kids about this so that they don't make the same mistakes I do. And she also said, and I'm talking about FICO and Vantage 3 and words I never thought I would do. And so it really empowers people for now and into the future.
Yeah.
Tell them how the transition program started.
Well, I wasn't there when it started, but but a pastor came to Jane and said, what can our church do? And Jane was saying the that they had some large families that needed housing. Harbor House is a shelter in Columbia that helps homeless people, and they have several family rooms, but there's a maximum of 4 people per room. So we had a family with 4 children or 5 children, and so there wasn't a place for them. And so she said,
So she said,
could your church buy a house for us to use as a transitional house? And so they did, and then later they saw how significant it was to their congregation and what big changes people were able to make. So they bought another one. And then later a volunteer from their church bought another one. And then other people have made houses available to us. So right now we have 6 houses that we're managing with transitional housing for these families to make a difference. And something like 24, is that, or 30?
We've had 20, if we count the people that are in there now, it's 30.
30 people, and so of the people that have moved out, they're in stable housing now. One couple, I'll tell you, when they were in there, they weren't our biggest stars, and I was kind of frustrated with them, but we planted the seeds, and they made progress, and now a year ago they told me, we just renewed our lease. This is the first time since we've been together that we've ever been in the same place 2 years in a row. So that was huge progress, and they just this last month got their... she got her license returned, and they bought a car for the first time since I've known them in over 4 years. So just when people are in homelessness, they're dealing with such huge issues that a 4 to 6 month stay isn't going to address all of those issues. But they're on a trajectory, and they're got started down the road. And so Well, anyway, I just thought of more and more stories.
Well, you can tell these ladies are incredibly passionate about what they're doing. So it has been fantastic, honestly, to be teamed with you in the times that we have been. I know that we've helped different folks move in and out of homes and had fantastic conversations and gospel-centered conversations with them. But just the love of God seen through your organization has been just such a hallmark of its name. And so it has been awesome to be a part of that with you guys, and we hope to continue to do that in the future. So currently with COVID conditions, how has that affected you, and what are some of the needs that you guys are now seeing, maybe that you didn't quite see as great before?
Well, it has been a whole new world, as we know. I'm believing for a new normal, not the same old normal. but it's beginning about the third week of March, we started getting calls from families, homeless families with kids. And from the last week of March through the 15th of April, we had 23 families with children literally on the street. Now, that is more than we would typically see in 2 or 3 years. And it was all in 3 weeks. These were people who were staying at pay-by-the-week hotels. These were people that were doubled up with other family members who didn't want them any longer once the schools shut down. In 2 cases, it was people who had just moved here to start a job, and then the job was put on hold, and they ran out of money. They were in a hotel, but they ran out of money. So it was every imaginable, one situation, an eviction had occurred just prior to COVID. It was restaurant workers, it was temp agency workers, it was people that didn't immediately apply or qualify for unemployment, and we were scrambling. So that was when someone did step forward and donated 2 condos, and we enlarged our extra mile transitional home program from 4 to 2, which was very helpful. I had also developed a relationship with the owner of the Welcome Inn, and he was giving us some discounts and free rooms, so we were able to put people there. At one time, we had 12 families in the Welcome Inn and all of our transition homes full. Kelly became more of an emergency worker than a long-term money management coach, and she was going to help people fill out or get online to fill out unemployment, file for unemployment, file for their taxes so they could get their stimulus. We were trying to help people get all the funds they could so that we didn't have to provide those funds if they were available, and that worked pretty well. But we also were helping people with coaching, a lot more short-term coaching, job and housing search. and some just more quick financial coaching. So in second quarter, we enrolled 151 people in coaching. It's been quite a madhouse. Kelly finally got to take a vacation last week and turned off her phone in the Boundary Waters, but I think she had 100 million voicemails when she got back. But, you know, it's been a lot of people donating in-kind items. We didn't used to prioritize phone and phone minutes, but you haven't been able to do anything in the pandemic without a phone. So just people crying when we'd hand them a Walmart card so they could get their phone back on. I mean, just people just so grateful and desperate, honestly, for just the basic necessities. So we are just trying to figure it out going forward. We've now got five families at the Welcome Inn, five rooms, I think, to date, and our six homes. We've managed to get quite a few people placed. We're running out of second chance landlords who want to give somebody a chance, so that's stressful. We also got 24 rent requests in May and 48 in June. So you can see how that is starting to spike. We did get... eviction court opens the 25th of this month. Utility disconnections start in August. The extra $600 per week for unemployment ends July 25th. Always for us, August is our most busy month because so many people are so stretched thin in their budget that they are trying to get their kids ready for school and they don't have money for all their bills. So we would love all hands on deck. Any help in August? We actually have needed a lot more runners and just people that would go deliver things to people because we're not letting people come in our office except on a limited basis. Some of the coaching is being done in a socially distant way with masks, but much of it is handing somebody something through their door or our door or delivering or talking somebody through filling out a Columbia housing application over the phone, things like that. So we are always looking for more volunteers. Donations of in-kind items that people need or other types of just funds to help. There's so many ways that churches can get involved. I like to kind of find out what are the gifts and talents and interests of a church and just see what fits best. I always say, hey, if you got 25 people that like to hammer and a saw, we'll figure out something. If you've got people that prefer to crochet, we'll figure out something. You know, if you've got tax accountants, whatever it is, there's a way to get involved with Love Inc. Right. That's really what our mission is mm-hmm. to try to take the awkward out of meeting people you wouldn't ordinarily meet. I'm thrilled that you're reading The Color of Compromise. Mm-hmm. It's a very hard book mm-hmm. to read. I finished it. At the end, there are some action steps which really mirror some of the things that we've tried to make available through Love Inc. There's also a gentleman, Brian Stevenson. Some of you may have watched Just Mercy, Equal Justice Initiative in Alabama. He's worked for many years helping death row inmates. He has four steps to changing the world that are very similar to Jamar Tishby. Okay. They are change your narrative, move away from a fear or anger-based narrative and hear other people's stories, which is what you're doing with The Color of Compromise, what we try to do with coaches, meeting people at Love Inc. or other volunteers. Proximity, getting close. He says just draw close to people. Maintain hope, which is very important. I really appreciate you guys. You changed your name from you're not Valley View, you're Higher Ground. You guys are maintaining hope for the future and you're going higher. I love it. The last one, what is the last one, Kelly? Maintaining hope and, do something uncomfortable. we're all about helping you do that. But those are Brian Stevenson's, very similar to Jamar Tishby's steps for becoming world changers.
Wow. Well, that was a lot. It's amazing to see how once God starts the ball rolling, that the ball starts rolling and rolling, and you're just able to bless so many people and so many other believers come alongside of you and help out. And so I'm sure it's been just a glory to God to see all of that come together as you continue to see things move forward. Just to simplify a tiny bit, if you were to name the different programs that Love Inc. offers. I heard a bunch, obviously. However, I know that there's more because I was at the banquet where you do your presentation. And so if you were to simplify and just kind of say, here are all the programs that we are doing. One thing that I would like to do is, well, that I will do, is I will be sending out an email to everybody in the church just as to what your gifting is and maybe ways that you could serve Love, Inc. And then as people feel led by the Lord and would like to take part, we can help place you in a place that could be helpful for you to serve if you were interested in that. But we wanted to offer that for sure, and that email will be coming out. So if we wanted to simplify the programs, what would those be?
Well, we start with our clearinghouse, which my husband says all these 12 years, no one knows what that is, but it's really that intersection of needs and resources where the calls come in. And so that is a screening, but through that screening, and especially since COVID, we do need people sometimes just to go run and do something. Mm-hmm. So there are the gophers, the people that could just go take something, or occasionally if you're comfortable giving somebody a ride, something just comes up even before we can get them into one of our coaching programs. Many people just need a step to get their head above water, and it can often be as simple as, if I could just get this paper here, or I could get this taken here or do this, it could change everything. So the clearinghouse, it's just immediate needs, hearing about that, and that includes our information library, those handouts that we give also on the website. We need lots of volunteers to help us make sure all those are current. You really don't want to send somebody with limited gas over to somewhere to get help that's not open that day because you got it wrong on your information library. So that's a very important job that people can actually do from home. Mm-hmm. From the clearinghouse, many people are referred to the furniture bank, and that's the Love Seat. We have a furniture bank and resale store. So far this year, we've helped over 60 families get furniture. People from this church have helped in that. And also, sometimes we help people move because we don't want to have to give them furniture. And if we could just help them move their furniture, they would be able to have it. So there's moving, there's furniture, there's even working, volunteering at the Love Seat resale store. We started out with a clothing closet at Calvary Baptist Church with our life skills classes. Wonderfully, we don't have to do that anymore. People can just go and shop with a free voucher at the store to get those clothes for an interview or school items for their child, a vacuum cleaner, whatever it is. So they could always use help there. Doing a furniture and clothing or drive, church parking lot using the truck, you know, that's connected there. Then other people are referred for coaching, and we do coaching, basic, very basic budgeting. And as Kelly loves to say, this is not investment banking. You know, you'll be surprised if you are frugal, even if you're not, but you want to be frugal, it'll help you think frugal when you're helping people learn to balance a budget, you know, that's so small. 95% of the people we work with live at or below 200% of the poverty level. 50% live at or below 100% of the poverty level. Poverty level is $12,000 for a single person, about $25,000 for a family of four. So you're really talking a lot about stretching dollars, helping people find better jobs, figuring out just how to save for the first time, those things. So financial coaching, job coaching, that's filling out applications. Some people still don't have good computer skills. Finding leads, just looking for leads and letting us know, or being a connector, helping someone with a resume. Housing search is, again, finding landlords that will rent, housing openings. We do a weekly low-cost housing openings list. We have something called Finding Life Purpose, which is for people that don't want to get into all that stuff, and it's just self-awareness tools and goal setting. And then, of course, Kelly always needs the 16-week coaches for that program as well. We were doing a program called Jobs for Life. We had started that, and Love Inc. basically has just tried to respond to what the city needs. We started out with finance and job coaching, the life purpose coaching, then added the transitional housing when housing just became such an issue, and started housing coaching at 2013. I guess that was housing coaching. 2015 was the transitional houses. 2017, we're still trying to address transportation. We started doing car repairs. We always need people who want to take somebody car shopping, help them figure things out about a car. We launched Bike to the Future, which has now given out 700 bikes. If you like to repair bikes, that goes on behind Community Methodist. Then 2018, we were really stunned by the figures that Black unemployment is always double white unemployment, and what can we do? So we started the Jobs for Life mentoring classes, partnering with African American churches to do that. That has gotten a little hijacked right now since we're not doing classes, but hopefully we'll get back to that, and that would be amazing to get more help for, because we're doing meals, childcare, and classes that help people have the confidence to get jobs. So what did I leave out, Kelly? What else do we do?
That's a lot. Okay, I remember hearing something about men who had been incarcerated who were coming out, kind of a transitional.
We work very closely, actually, with Dan Hannigan at Into Action. We've done a little less of that since he's really brought that organization to a great place. But he has just launched something called the Reentry Opportunity Center, which also is barely open because of COVID. It's over next to the food bank. And it is going to have a room for churches to be like a little chapel. And DeMarcus Thomas Brown, he actually spoke at Lincoln for Love. He's pastor of a small church called Convergence. Mm-hmm. He grew up in inner city in Columbia. And he is directing The Rock. And they are planning to have churches come and be there, take turns staffing a room that will be a prayer room / chapel to get people connected. Yeah, so that's awesome. Coming up too. Loving coordinates Boone County Jail Ministry, which is shut down, but going forward, they often need volunteers, right, or people to do one-on-one visits. So if you want to visit, but if you just like to fix an old clock or bike, or you want to clean a sofa, I mean, there are so many opportunities, collect stuff, run around. You don't have to be the budget master or anything like right. that. We have a job. Some people just make stuff for people. Bedtime packs for kids that just to have a special pillow and blanket when we give them beds, soup in a jar. How does the body of Christ love people? How do we let people know in Columbia that there is a God who loves them? I've said this a million times if you've heard me talk, but when we started Love, Inc., the two things that were most prevalent in those conversations were, God is mad at me and the church is going to judge me. And so we have set out for 12 years to prove people wrong. God does love them, and the church is not going to judge them. The church will embrace them. But, you know, judgment, not judging, Jesus looked with compassion. It takes time. It takes sitting for 16 weeks. And Kelly will work with coaches. Sometimes they're frustrated. Well, they're spending all this money on this or that, or can't they quit smoking? And then you just sit and think a little bit. We try to talk about trauma and maybe just help God infuse us with his love and patience when we get overwhelmed. And it's a beautiful thing. We like to say, I hope this doesn't sound too proud, that we're a dressing room for the bride of Christ. We want the church to come in through Love, Inc. and come out beautifully arrayed to make Jesus the talk of the town.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I know that as you've been working there, and you've met obviously lots of physical needs, and I'm sure there's been spiritual needs met as well as you love in the name of Christ. What are maybe one story from each of you, just about this is why I do this? You know, where there was a person, they came in and God just laid them on your heart. God worked through their life, and on the other side, they were just blessed in his name. So what was an example for each one of you?
Yeah, when you were talking about the spiritual things, often in the Extra Mile program isn't overtly Christian. And our people who participate don't have to have any spiritual belonging. But a couple stories about how just it happens. One guy, his coach each week would say, "How can I pray for you?" And then they'd write a little list. And then as the program went on, then the gentleman who had no spiritual background, he would come in with his prayer list ready to give his coach. And then another lady, she started the program and then had to stop because of some surgery. But at the time she started, she had, I think, $10,000 in payday loans. And, you know, that was so overwhelming. And then she had to stop for a surgery, and it just seemed like it was going to be more and more hopeless. But she did begin again, and then she just made progress. And I think her coach was a Christian and shared, you know, prayer and spiritual things, but just being present. And she just could feel that love. And then she was motivated to start going to church again. And she brings her children to church, and they read the Bible each night. And I'm actually connected with her on YouVersion, and so I get to see the Bible plans she's doing. And then I'm motivated to try and do the Bible plans. And so, and she's down to her last $2,500 in payday loans. And she just was able to get, because she's paid faithfully, we were able to make a little bigger payday relief loan, but she's down to her last. I mean, the end is in sight. So, and that's been, I don't know, a year and a half process, but that's been so encouraging. And she has an 18 or 19 year old daughter, and she's been doing budgeting with her daughter, teaching her how to do a budget. So, the financial peace coming and the flourishing, and then also the spiritual and the life, just the whole picture of that one.
Well, a couple things really get me jazzed up at Love Inc., and one are those divine coincidences that we know aren't coincidences. When something happens and a resource comes in, we had one of our Love Seat staff go to, she's been someone we've helped since she came here pregnant from Alabama. The week after Love Inc. opened. And so we've walked alongside her, and she fled a life of drugs and abuse in the South and came here. We've walked alongside her, but she went back down there for a funeral. On the way back, totaled her car with her four kids and niece in it. Miraculously, they weren't hurt. She's calling me from the emergency room in Alabama, and she said, they want to know, why am I calling my boss? And I said, well, she's not my boss. She's my family. And but 30 minutes later, after we got the call, someone walked in and donated a minivan. Wow. Well, who do you think we gave that to? So we have that happen on a regular basis, whether it's 2 weeks ago when someone randomly wanted to donate a hospital bed and a wheelchair, which we don't usually take, and then someone called and they needed it for their brother who was moving up here from Florida, or a bed, a crib, or whatever. So those things keep me knowing that God's hand, when a furniture bank delivery will say, that lady said, how did you know purple was my favorite color? Well, we didn't know. You know, but God is always wanting people to know that they are loved. I also get pretty excited by the fact that I think over the years we've had 6 or 7 of our people that have gone through coaching turn around and become coaches. We have some people that have come through the program that are homeowners now. I have 2 young women that I knew from the days of the 90s doing the door-to-door prayer who were tiny little girls that I would visit and just be horrified because their mothers were crack addicts and they were not properly cared for. And I didn't even know what to do. Well, one of them now just graduated with her associate's degree, a patient care tech, a community health worker. She's had a lot of bumps in the road, but she's on her way. Another one, we were just able to give her a vehicle so she could get to work. She's completed cosmetology school, but just that lack of transportation. So just being able to see even that some things take a long time, but we can do our part. And as some of you may have read, Raj Chetty, Harvard economist, came out a couple of years ago with his Opportunity Atlas talking about where you grow up makes a difference. Well, sadly, Boone County was 17th percentile in the nation for if you were born here in poverty, could you escape it? Well, we're trying to do something about that at Love Inc. And these 2 young women I just described, they grew up in abject poverty here without any hope, really. And now through just the love of God and ongoing contact through the years. I mean, we see so many young people that have grown up in foster care. Kelly's got one particular one who that she just said, you know, it's been a good month when I haven't heard from her because I know she's doing okay. Mm. It's a long journey sometimes, but it's very rewarding. It's very rewarding.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. I have one more question for you, and love to hear your heart on this. Is how has God changed you being a part of this organization? What do you think God has been teaching you during the time that you've been there?
Yeah, I think just opening my heart to just see people where they are, and to not to think how things should be, but just to meet people where they are, and then to help them onto their next step. And admiring the perseverance and the tenacity that people in these situations. I think before I started at Love Inc., I kind of knew about poor people, in quotes, or people with struggles, but it was from the paper, and, you know, it was, you know, just, I just had my thoughts that, you know, well, if they only did this, or if they would have done that, but now knowing people, you know, they're working full-time, two jobs, and they are trying so hard, and so just to be able to come alongside and encourage them and help them, anyway, just I've learned, just meeting the people has opened my eyes to, when I was a homeschool mom, I like to help my friends, and homeschool moms, we help each other, and just now I have more friends, and so more people that I can help and encourage.
Well, you are deeply changed. Like Kelly said, the poor are rich in faith. The Bible tells us that. And we get to come alongside and literally be stunned by the perseverance and the resilience that we see in other people. We also get to be stunned by God's provision and really literally how he's grown even Love Inc. and helped us keep going. And we believe that he's going to help us even organize and deploy more people and more resources. So he's grown my faith and our faith just along with the people that he's helped us. Kelly loves to say something that I'm going to quote. I'll probably butcher it. But she said, someone asked her, how do you listen to so many sad stories? And she said, wouldn't it be sadder if they didn't have anyone to tell them to? So sometimes when we're overwhelmed, we can't do it all, but we just know that we can do something. And it is like the story with the little boy with the loaves and fishes, the soup kitchen here in Columbia we've had for almost 40 years. The little bit you give, God can amazingly, amazingly multiply it.
Mm-hmm. That is a good message to hear, that God doesn't want it all. He just wants us to give what we have, and then he does what he wants with the rest of it. And so thank you, ladies, so much for how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus here in our city, not only providing hope to people who maybe are struggling with hope, but also in the name of Christ as they're introduced to Jesus. And so we're grateful for you, and thank you for coming out. We're going to now, I guess, dismiss you guys down to your seats, and Charlie will come up and pray for us as we continue to.
And just up here, there's a flyer about our information library, extra mile coaching, side-by-side coaching, and the love seat where you can bring donations. There's just a few mm-hmm. copies if you want to look at them afterwards.
Kelly, if you wanted to set those back on the table back there, as people
sure.
leave, they could pick one up.
Great idea.
Great.
Mm-hmm. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you for how much you truly love us, Lord. Lord, you love every single one of us. Lord, we thank you for the mission of Love Inc. Lord, we thank you for putting it on Jane's heart and bringing it to our county. And we got God, we ask right now in your name that that we would change that statistic of 17th being born in Boone County, Lord. Or that you would change that here, or that you would change that in all the counties, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for the way you've encouraged us this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing through that ministry. Lord, we pray, Lord, as those numbers are going up because of COVID, Lord, that you would then be shown all the more. Lord, and that there would be more and more opportunity for your love to be seen. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give wisdom and just bless the leaders of this ministry. God, we pray that you would just use it to build your kingdom and that more and more people would see you through what they're doing. God, I pray that you would help us to see how we can be involved, Lord, that if there's something you want one of us to do or the church to do on a whole, Lord, that you would just, your Holy Spirit would make that super clear. We'd know exactly how we can help and exactly what that looks like. And Lord, that we would grow closer to you as we're obedient in that. Lord, please bless Love Inc. Bless what they're doing. Bless this community. And we thank you for all that you're already doing. We praise things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand and let's close with a few worship songs. If you would like to give to Love Inc., we're not collecting donations today, but you can put them in the box in the back of the room as you leave by the door, or if you have the Planning Center app, you can give through the Planning Center app as well. And if you have any questions about that, please let us know.